This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Gotta be true to yourself. In a world there's nothing else. Gotta play the game right, gotta make your path. You scratch, you dig, you laying your ground. You busting your rounds, nobody gonna stop you. No ops, no cops, everything about you. Looking good, you good, she good. Y'all people really wanna know the reason.
What's that?
It's just that ripple effect. That karma come back quick. Do somebody wrong, you get sick. I just inspire kids. Because of that, maybe I get rich. Gotta see the future, be smarter than a rooster. No hookah, you focus. No drinking, no smoking, no tokens, no handouts. Everybody in the world, get your plans out. Let's do it, let's go, let's get our minds ready. We elevate intellects right here on the K-Dot Show. That's just that ripple effect. That's just that ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back triple. That's just that ripple effect. That's just that ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back triple.
K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is, and you already know the vibes. What's going on? Season 5 finally here. I hope you really like my intro. It's new. Man, Lave, that's my guy. Shout outs to you. Appreciate it. But as you already know, sports don't sleep. We got to get right into it, you know? So, Tom Brady, you already know what's going on. I hear a lot of question marks surrounding whether he's mentally there or ready to play, and I just laugh about that. I'm like, you guys must have forgot who Tom Brady is. You must have forgot why we call him the GOAT. The most self-motivated man that we can think of up there with Kobe, you know. Listen, we're gonna speak more on that later, but that's something we need to dive into. Lamar Jackson, today was the deadline. That's it, he's gonna be playing on his fifth year option of his contract with the Ravens. No matter anything else that goes on, he just said, you know, we're done negotiating. Now, I'm gonna be respectful in the sense of, it's really hard to give my opinion about that because we don't know what the discrepancy was. We know that there's a negotiation taking place. We don't know what the number, we don't know what Lamar Jackson and his camp is demanding. At the same time, we don't know what the Ravens were offering. So it's really kind of hard for me to say, well, Lamar should have taken it. We don't know. What if they were offering him less than the Kyler Murray deal? You know, what should he have taken that when he's done a lot more than Kyler Murray? You know, in the sense of MVP status, staying healthy, you know, not to mention the load he has to carry. I mean, and we don't know if the team, if the Ravens, if they felt like they offered him maybe somewhere near Deshaun Watson money, but not quite Deshaun Watson money, because that was just a deal that they felt like should have never been struck, and that was just insinuating circumstances. That's why you don't make business deals out of desperation, because that was clearly the Cleveland Browns making a desperate situation. Sorry, fans, but y'all already know what it is. When you make decisions like that in a desperate sort of way, you know, in an emotional sort of state. Now, will I say I agree with it? I remember at first, when I first heard about it, it's scary, right? Because you're like, wait, football, very dangerous, brutal game. And at the same time, you also got to think about Lamar Jackson's style of play. His style of play is not hang out in the pocket, I have a great O-line to protect me, you know, and that's it. And then if I don't have it, the pocket closes, I throw the ball away, okay, I'm good. No, he leads his team in rushing yards. Like, he's the offense. Plain and simple. With respect to everybody else, but everything is built and designed around Lamar Jackson. If you watch football, you know football, you know what it is. When they drafted him, they changed up everything that they were going to do just for him. Everything's tailor-made. So in a way, that's what kind of makes us sit there and kind of say, well, why wouldn't you just give the man what he wants? we don't think he's, well, we're just, in terms of he's not asking for some astronomical number, that's just not possible to get. You know, but if it should be somewhere in the Deshaun Watson ballpark, that's not something you want to turn around, you know, just turn down. So in that sense, that's why I was kind of against it. I understand he doesn't have an agent. It's kind of just him and his mom working things out. And when you don't have a third party and you're kind of emotionally involved, you know, without having someone speak on your behalf, you know, it can get a little dicey. And then you start to wonder, is there anybody else in their ear, you know, that shouldn't be? Because the business negotiations, man, like it's rough. You know, I can't say that I've ever sat in one, not with a, you know, player, agent, and the owner, and GM, and that sort of thing. But I've been privy to something that like that on some level, and it's rough, you know? So it's weird for someone to be sitting there, you know, talking about you, you know, and listing reasons why they don't want to give you whatever it is that you're asking for. So it does help to have some type of arbiter, I know, speaking on, you know, in your behalf in that sense. But when you break it down and you kind of look at the totality of things in terms of Lamar Jackson's life and how things have worked for him, right? Betting on yourself. Now, I don't want to expect most people to understand this, because if that were the case, I think everybody would be successful. It's not easy to put yourself out there, you know, when there's such high risk for failure. But you know how life is. You have to fail in order to succeed, right? You have to follow in order to lead. So Lamar Jackson, they was told he should have been a wide receiver, right? He was the last one picked in the first round of the draft, at a quarterback, you know, pretty much just getting disrespected. You know, still goes on, you know, to being, he's still ascending in my eyes to being the best quarterback he can possibly be. We've already seen his dual threat. I hear, you know, the hate, but Lamar Jackson's not thinking about that. He's betting on himself. So he's saying to himself, you know what? If you want to go back to history, now there's not too many, you know, examples, but Joe Flacco, he did something similar, right? Definitely different team. Well, not different team in the same, because it's actually the same franchise, but I mean different team as in personnel. You know, he said, you know what? You don't want to pay me what I'm worth. It's fine. I'm going to play the season, and I'm going to show you why you should pay me what I'm worth. And that team went on to win the Super Bowl, you know, which is pretty remarkable. And then they ended up paying him. Now, I am by no stretch of imagination trying to, you know, let you know that my prediction are for the Baltimore Ravens winning the Super Bowl this year, or next year rather. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is Lamar Jackson now has, like, he's healthy. He looks good. He seems to be feeling good, you know, according to all the reports that's out there. And he's on, like, a path to having a remarkable season. And he's hoping that season speaks for itself. But, you know, let's play devil's advocate, right? Just for a sec. Because some people are saying, okay, but then he plays out the season, yeah, he balls out, and they still don't want to give him the contract. And then they franchise him. Okay, but if you know about the franchise tag, they would have to pay the, there's a luxury franchise tag that they would have to pay him, which would exclude other teams from offering him money. You know, and they would have to pay that. You know why? Because if they don't pay that and they just franchise them, that gives the right for other teams to come in there and say, hey, I'm going to give you $240, you know, million, you know, guaranteed. And let's say it's the Dolphins because, you know, Tua didn't have a good season. I'm not wishing that. I'm just saying, you know, but that's a possibility if they don't go out, you know, and do their due diligence correctly. Okay, they're saying if they do franchise him in the luxury, he's still going to be making, because this year he's supposed to be on schedule to make $20-something million. And if they franchise him for another year, he'll be making somewhere around 30, 40. Now we're kind of sounding like we're kind of getting on par with the more elite quarterbacks in the league, right? And then if they do it again, and if you look at the market, because remember, it's only going up, up. You know? I mean, it's just Herbert. He's going to be wanting to get paid. Joe Burrow. Like, this is what I'm talking about in the next couple of years. And he's going to be up there in like $50 million, you know, a season or even more. The market's only going to grow. So that's why it's kind of like, what are the Ravens doing? You can end up having to pay more than even what Lamar Jackson was offering. But again, we don't know exactly what he was being offered. And we have no idea what Lamar Jackson wants. But I kind of see Lamar Jackson's case here. I kind of see why he chooses to bet on himself, because that's just his life. That's all he knows. And that kind of has been working for him. Some people are worried about injuries. I know I was. But at the same time, I guess he's thinking, you know what? If I get injured, it happens. It doesn't mean I can't heal and rehab and still go on to be the player that I am. He's just betting on himself. I mean, that happened to Dak, right? He still got paid, you know. And, you know, shout out to Jerry Jones for still, you know, honoring his word and giving him his money. That says a lot, that your word still means something nowadays in this crazy world. But it's just something to think about, because that was like a big deal. We've been talking about this for weeks. I know I've been very close, very intimate with this, because I wanted to be able to understand. And in order to understand why people make decisions, you have to be able to understand them. And you know what, Lamar Jackson? I do understand you. I wish you all the best. And you deserve your money. I think everybody just wants to see you get paid, and rightfully so. And hopefully that will happen no matter where that ends up for you. But yeah, we got to talk about that Bills-Rams game. Man, Josh Allen. What did we learn about him? Besides, he's got a mean stiff arm, right? aside from that, that's the easy analysis, right? I think what we've learned from Josh Allen is his ability to make mistakes and just not let it break him. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you have to understand, like, the mental fortitude they had to have, because they had like four turnovers. I think, you know, Josh Allen was, you know, he was the culprit for two or three of them. You know, one, I'm definitely going to blame the receiver on, like one or two. You know, I was like, what are they doing out there? They're making Josh Allen look so bad right now. But his ability to bounce back, I mean, and don't get me wrong, that ability to bounce back is also a great deal of it has to do with the defense. Because you don't bounce back like that unless you have a defense that makes some noise. I mean, I told y'all before, I picked the Bills before the game. I also picked the Bills even just like 2 weeks ago when they were talking about this game, because I know the Bills are going to be on a revenge tour. I'm not by any means saying that they're going to win every single game, or there's not going to be some games that's going to make people waver in their decisions. But I'm pretty steady in this decision, because I think the acquisition of Von Miller was huge. And you saw it last night with two sacks, what he was able to do, disrupting the quarterback, you know, making Matt Stafford move faster than he wanted to. I mean, Stafford looked bad, guys. He looked bad. And I know a lot of people want to they always go back and forth, like, you know, who really lost the game, who really won the game, you know, in that sense of, you know, like, what went wrong, you know? Were the Rams too high before the game? In a sense, not that kind of high. that's true. Not that. Not talking about that. I mean high in the sense of they had the Vince Lombardi trophy. They were celebrating. OBJ was there. You know, doing a little dance. You know how he likes to get down. Cool. You know, everybody's feeling themselves. And at the end of the day, the Bills were like, yo, we came in here because we're still pissed, you know, from the way their season ended with the Kansas City Chiefs and not being able to, you know, give it a go again on offense. But even though they changed the rule, I don't think they're going to have that problem now that they have Von Miller, because I'm telling you, like, Von Miller for them was definitely a blessing. It was a godsend, because if you want to talk about the key, the missing puzzle piece, it's incredible. I mean, we can pick apart the Rams in any way. We can talk about Jalen Ramsey and how he not only got burnt for that, you know, 53-yard touchdown, right, by Stephon Diggs. But Stephon Diggs is that dude. Y'all been sleeping on him, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to say I was. I don't think I was talking about him as much as I probably should have, but I'm sure this season I will be, so don't worry about that. But, you know, I've seen him on, you know, an interview on The Pivot, and, you know, his whole attitude and his whole mentality about, you know, how he's like one of those guys that he's like a really hard worker. He's a self-motivated in a sense, and he's always in his own head. You know, he's always talking to himself crazy in order to get himself, you know, ramped up. So anything anybody else says about him, it don't matter, because he probably already said it or 10 times worse, which is cool. But at the same time, like, man, you wanted the best, you know, corners in the league, you know, like he's elite. People are just talking about, dude, I'm not even just talking about in the Super Bowl when he got burnt. And you got to remember, you know, there was a couple of plays where it looked like the Cincinnati Bengals actually could have taken him in the Super Bowl, right? But even all throughout the playoffs, there were question marks, you know, surrounding Jalen Ramsey. Like, what, yo, bro, like, what's going on? Like, you were getting beat. Like, I get it. Like, he's not a big route jumper, you know? But... man, I was like, he just got beat. I don't know if he wasn't expecting, you know, Stephon Diggs to just go for it the way he did. But it's like, he just kind of let him go. And I'm just like, I need some answers. I need some answers. You just got to love how Josh Allen just stayed poised. Even though the interceptions happened, it didn't waver. Like, he still had his leadership. Everybody was still ready to go at the end of the day. And it was just remarkable to see, because when you watch somebody lose a season like that in the fashion that they did and come out on opening day and just, you know, pop, you know, the Super Bowl champs right in the mouth, like, we in here in your building, you know, we all about business. We have bigger goals in mind. We trying to have that trophy too. You know, Josh Allen, you know, he already got his money. So, you know, he definitely, I mean, for me personally, I can see him being the MVP. He keeps on going the way he did. I mean, this just wasn't a game, guys. Like, if you want me to keep it real, like, if it wasn't for Cooper Kupp, and I even said this yesterday on my Facebook last night, if it wasn't for Cooper Kupp, I would have turned the game off. Like, I don't think I needed to see anything else at that point. I mean, Cooper Kupp cannot carry your entire offense. He can't. Cooper Kupp is great. Triple crown. I didn't even know there was a triple crown until last year, not at least in football. But the guy is great. The guy is phenomenal. I mean, he was the, you could say he was one of the, the bright side, I guess, if you want to be optimistic about the Rams, that's what you would highlight. Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp. That's about it. Matt Stafford looked lost, confused. He even looked, I don't know if he's still banged up with that elbow, because there was some question marks. I don't know what's up with that, but I mean, 16 more games to go? I don't know. Remember, teams are coming. Teams are hungry. Guys are playing for, you know, contracts and playoff push. And it's going to be crazy out there when you think about, I told you, my sleeper teams. I tell you, well, with the Dolphins, you got to remember, like, I'm saying the Dolphins in particular, because not just because of Tyreek Hill, I really like Waddle a lot. He's fast as hell too. People are sleeping on him. I think the culture that they're trying to create, right? Because you still got to play and win games in order for this to kind of ring true. But that the culture that they're trying to create is going to be a more positive one, one in which Tua has no other choice but to thrive. If he doesn't, then you already know what it is, right? But at the end of the day, I'm expecting big things, and they have everything they need to be successful. You know, obviously barring health, but for the most part, Jameis Winston, a lot of people are sleeping on him. He was one of the top quarterbacks in passing yards. Health has always been an issue. You also got to look at the Raiders. Derek Carr, right? We always keep, it's like some quarterbacks, you don't really know where to place them. And that's only because you have people that are so high on some of these, you know, QBs that you sit there and you're just like, wait, he's not all that great. So it's like people bring him all the way down. It's like, all right, he's not bad. I would say like he's above average. Like if you're going to say like, let's say like who would be like your average quarterback, right? I mean, we could talk about Baker for a second too, because I think Baker is going to be, you know, Baker's to me average, right? Flacco, average, you know, Jacoby Brissett, you know, I think he has a chance to prove that he's an average quarterback, right? This season. Now, who else am I thinking about? Like Tannehill, right? Because these are guys who you can put as starter, right? But they're not necessarily going to win a Super Bowl for you. Like, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Not saying you can't win with them. You're not going to win because of them. Like, you're not going to win a Super Bowl because of them. Like, when Joe Flacco won that Super Bowl, it wasn't because of him. It's actually because of defense, right? And he just, like, game manager. That's pretty much what they used to call Russell Wilson until they found out who Russell Wilson really was, right? That sort of thing. That's where I'm getting at. Yeah, so in that sense, that's what we have to think about, because once, you know, these QBs, once they get into like their third, fourth year, you should already have an identity of who you are for your team. And if you're not, it's time to go, right? So those are like my top sleeper teams, like the Panthers too, because only because Baker, this is where he thrives, a personality like him, that underdog, you know, walking onto teams, becoming a starter. Like, I mean, nobody does that. But Baker Mayweather can. He has that internal motor. He is a leader. He is a leader of men. Is he emotional? Yeah. Can he say too much? And you know what? But it works out for him, you know, because you know what? Football doesn't work out. You know what? Eventually, or he'll have a hell of a career as an actor, right? Commercials, everything, he's phenomenal, right? But that's neither here nor there. But at the end of the day, like, that game was, it was great because I got my pick right, but at the same time, like, I wanted to see a little bit more competitive football. Rams got exposed. They got a lot of work to do. I'm sure Sean McVay didn't get any sleep last night. I wouldn't have either if I was the head of that team, with, you know, being the offensive boy genius, or, you know, that he is, and you pretty much get shut out in the second half, right? And then you let the other team, like, run up, like, 20 points, right? 21 points. Craziness. But to get back to this Tom Brady situation, now, I'm not really one to get into, you know, personal things when it comes to players and stuff like that. I don't feel like that's any of our business, but I do feel like this is like a teachable moment. So I'm going to take that opportunity to just talk about it. Right. Cause a lot of cool things with sports is, even though they're players and we look at them like, wow, they're superheroes. They do like these crazy, fantastic things. And they bring us all together, right? All walks of life. A magical thing. We don't all necessarily have to agree, but it does bring us together, you know, whether you want to see that or not. But Tom Brady missing some games, and yeah, there is rumors about, you know, why he missed those games, and it's due to his personal life, like, meaning like his family, his intermediate family, and how Tom was supposed to retire a while ago, he decided not to, and as we all know, we know Tom as a GOAT. Like we know Tom as like you just can't stop winning. And if you're a Giants fan, we know Tom because, you know, we were the reason why he didn't have the perfect season, right? We got him. We got him. But that's neither here nor there. But at the same time, it's like, it's a real issue, you know? And a lot of people don't take it seriously. And speaking from someone who is married, like, this is such a hard choice. And this is why, speaking to all my married people out there, this is why this isn't easy. Some people think that there is like a clear right and a clear wrong, or somebody has to be right and somebody has to be wrong. And I'm here to tell you, nobody's wrong. Like, and if this is the case, because allegedly neither one of them came out and said this, and by one of them, I'm talking about Tom, his wife. But if this is the case, I don't feel like she's wrong. Because we don't know what they said in confidence together about when he was going to retire, and he eventually went back on that, right? And I don't necessarily think Tom is wrong, right? Because at the end of the day, like, what are we always told, right? Follow your heart. Doesn't matter whether it's in a relationship or dreams or different things that you would want to pursue. You know, we don't worry about that. So at the end of the day, it's true. Like, I mean, a wise person once said, that is married, that said, you know, when you wake up every day, you have to choose to be married. Like, it's not just a one-time commitment thing. And some people may know about vow renewals and all the, you know, to kind of update the vows, and, you know, because life is messy. But it's also because you want to stay true to yourself, and that's huge. You always want to stay true to yourself, but still not in a selfish kind of way, and not understand that they need to do that too. Like, it's a you, I go back and forth sort of thing. And Tom Brady definitely has a window to play football until it's done, because once it's over, it's over. It's final. And when you have to make that transition, I'm going to say you need to be ready for it. You know, I think that's why that's part of the reason why I want to get into what I'm trying to get into, you know, sports psychology and different things of that nature, is because a lot of players do suffer. It's more like an identity crisis, because their identity was football since they were like 5, 6 years old. And now at the age of 33, 34, around there, guys are retiring, essentially. And to retire, and you have your whole life ahead of you, now to kind of do whatever you want. You know, you've helped out your family. You've gotten them out of certain situations as well as yourself. You've put yourself in a situation, hopefully, where you've gained a lot of knowledge, a lot of relationships that you never thought you would have, like with people who are in affluent communities, where you can spread generational wealth, right? And be able to build and make companies and, you know, have a business of your own, or at least a platform of your own, and hopefully you can monetize on that, and, you know, so you can keep the money where it's supposed to be. But at the same time, if it's done too premature, meaning you didn't think about all that, you don't have a strategy, you don't have a plan, that's hard. That can hit you hard. I've read a lot about athletes like Chris Bosh, like some athletes who don't have a choice, right? Where their career was just cut short and it was a choice between living and dying, right? And that's no hyperbole, that's real talk. Mainly because, you know, your doctor had told you this, and maybe some people are just like, you know what, if I could die doing what I love, so be it, you know? But at the same time, when you made a commitment, right, and you have kids as well, and that's a whole nother level. I don't have kids yet, so I won't speak too much on that, but I'm sure you all who do, you can understand that it's definitely not a decision that you can, you know, make lightly, because you have people that are counting on you, people that you brought into this world that are counting on you. So that's a whole different type of, you know, responsibility that you're taking on. But at the same time, it's like, I didn't hear anything medically about Tom, but this was just kind of just a choice that he didn't feel he was ready, because we know that he retired for what, like maybe a month or so, and or maybe the reports just came out too prematurely all over ESPN. You know, even, you know, I even broke the story. I mean, this is what everybody's talking about. I mean, I don't know him personally. I didn't talk to him, so I wouldn't know. But then he kind of unretired, as they said, but I don't know if he ever actually retired anyway. A lot of people didn't believe it, didn't want to believe it. Even Leonard Fournette, he even spoke about it, about how he wasn't going to stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he talked about even going to New England. I think he was like shopping himself around and kind of looking around and seeing what other options there are out there for him, you know, because he's got to worry about himself now if Tom is no longer going to be there. And he said that Tom called him up himself and said, get your butt back on to, you know, back down here, you know, come on back to Florida. Like, I'm staying, I'm not retiring. And that was huge. And if you don't believe me, I'm telling you, watch The Pivot. They got a lot of good episodes with a lot of guests like Leonard Fournette, and you'll hear it straight from his lips, you know, about what it is. And that just goes to show you, you know, he wasn't ready. It wasn't sitting right with him. Not to mention the way the season ended, but it was also because if you can go and you're still playing at such a high level, it's kind of hard to turn away from that. I mean, I'm just being honest. You got to be honest with himself. He's got to be honest about his true feelings. And at the end of the day, if people need to understand that if it doesn't work out, you know, with his marriage and different things that he's dealing with, you know, all I can say is I pray for them both. And please, like, everybody stop putting blame on Tom. Stop putting blame on Giselle. If that, like I said, if that is the case, if we don't 100% know, these are still things that are just floating out there. It just seems like this could be it, mainly because every year this was kind of like a thing that, you know, his wife obviously didn't want him to keep playing, and it was just a thing of when he's going to retire. And so that's why we're kind of, you know, just putting the pieces together. And yeah, just show a little bit more empathy and whatever that they're going through, and hoping that they can, you know, figure it out. And if they can't, then I know that they're going to make the best decision for themselves and for their kids, for their family. And that's the only thing that makes sense. And a lot of people that are, you know, punishing Giselle because you want to watch its precious Tom Brady, like, get a life. Like, give me a break. You know what I mean? Like, because at the end of the day, you don't know what she deals with. Maybe because he's so banged up, you know, that he can't, you know, help out with the kids, or he complains about concussions. Like, and those are actually, you know, documented things that, you know, he has complained about having concussions. And I can imagine if you have a concussion, and especially, I mean, 20 years of football, you know, plus, it's going to leave you to a certain degree not being able to fulfill all your, you know, obligatory, you know, duties, excuse me, you know, so you got to be able to understand it from both sides. And some people can talk about the money. Yeah, she's made a lot of money in her career too, and we don't know if she stopped because of the kids. And, you know, I'm just saying that's why it's best to just let them figure it out. When Tom is on that field, we know he's going to be Tom. He's going to be TB12, his brand, solid, you know. And that's it. I just hope that some people can kind of take away from their situation and kind of say to themselves, like, maybe more communication is necessary in your respective situations. Also, empathy. Everybody's so, like, my way, highway. Like, you won't get anywhere in life thinking like that. So that shouldn't even be like your way of thinking. There's compromises in everything that we do, unless you have no relationships. There's always going to be a compromise. Relationships in business, you know, in your personal life, career, whatever the case may be, there's always compromise. There's always room for understanding. And if that understanding is just too much for you personally and it takes away too much, then that's okay. Then that's where you're going to have to, you know, make that shift, you know, make that merge or that pivot. And that's okay too. Either way, that's okay. But anyway, I hope you guys liked it. I want you guys to listen, like, and subscribe. The channel is popping. We're going to be having more fun, more guests. This, as long as everything, you know, stays, you know, how it's supposed to be, because there's always so many different protocols and different things, but I do want to start traveling out and starting to get more guests and starting to, you know, provide you guys with some great content. That's it. That's all I'm out here trying to do. Anyway, it's been your girl, K-Dot. I'm out.
Elevating the legs right here on the K-Dot Show. That's just that ripple effect. That's just that ripple, ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back, triple. That's just that ripple effect. That's just that ripple, ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back, triple.
Girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.